This is Michael Johnson, and on today's NVIDIA podcast, we talk with Craig Tech Daddy Tate, one of the top computer modders in the country. This is the first of a two-part podcast with Tate, and I began by asking him about modding, what it is, and how one gets a name or a handle.
Handles are normally used by people so that it's kind of an online alias. You don't want to put your real name out there, you know, for security purposes, obviously, and some people just like to have kind of an alter ego, so a lot of people will find a name or a handle that they'll create that they think kind of personifies how they handle themselves online. My particular name was kind of a derivative. It took me a couple of years to come up with it. I ran through a couple of different various online nicknames, and some people might recognize me by McCann or CBS McCann, and that was all from old gaming days. And then I started realizing that, you know, my future and what I'm wanting to do online was more along the lines of education, instruction, troubleshooting, and then I got into modding, and then I became a father. I gave birth to my kids, and I started realizing that, you know, the same principles that I'm applying to what I'm wanting to do online is the same thing I'm doing to my kids, being kind of a dad to them. And, you know, I'm a huge freak for technology. I mean, if it's got wires in it, I'm just entranced and deer in the headlights. And so I just got thinking about technology and being a father and tech daddy, and it just kind of came from that. And it stuck. And a lot of people now recognize me by that online alias. So it's just kind of evolved, and it's been a successful one.
That's a great story, Craig. Can you tell us a little bit about what modding is and what it is not?
When modding first started many years back, it was there's two camps that say some people were jealous about what Apple was doing, and other people were just wanting to get more airflow and cooling performance out of their PCs. Obviously, the airflow and the cooling, more fans, higher RPM fans, cutting windows so that you can get more circulation. Other people decided to take it to an aesthetic level and to make PCs more of a personal extension of who they were, you know, kind of like a little thumbprint, you know, because each mod is really unique. What it actually has become is kind of a melding of the two, you know, how to get the most performance out of a machine and look good doing it. I mean, a lot of people will perform mods that are, you know, kind of hack, just, you know, to get by and to get the performance out of the way. But in my book, and everybody's subject to their own opinion, in my book, real modding comes out whenever you try and meld and blend the two. You try and blend the performance category in with the aesthetic category and make the two of them work together towards some sort of a common visual slash performance goal. And that's kind of the way I take it on all my machines. Now, everybody has to start somewhere. And whenever you first get into it, modding might just be, you know, changing out the fans on your PC to put in some LED fans or put in some cathode fans, or maybe putting in a UV cold cathode tube so that it makes any bright colors on your motherboard stand out. I mean, you all start somewhere. So modding is just changing the physical of your machine to make it more of a personal extension of you. And, you know, it can go anywhere from lights and fans all the way up to complete, I mean, like from the ground up, building your own frame and making your own computer case, you know, something that, not even buying an ATX case off the shelf, you know, you build your own case and you cut your own holes. And, you know, it takes a lot of engineering to do that. It's kind of like, you know, to steal from Lucas, it's kind of like building your own lightsaber. I mean, that's kind of the ranking system among a lot of modders. Have you built your own machine from the ground up yet? And, you know, that's usually reserved for some of the more elite people. But modding covers a lot of areas. It starts from the simple stuff, and it can move all the way up to the most extreme custom case builds that will just boggle your mind.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a few levels of it out there as well. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell me what first got you interested in PCs and taking them sort of, you know, beyond what everybody gets out of the box when it arrives on their doorstep?
Well, you know, I come from the, you know, as I alluded to earlier, there are kind of two different camps in regards to modding. And, you know, some people were performance freaks and others were kind of jealous of the aesthetics that Apple was putting into some of their stuff. And, And, you know, I kind of came from that camp. I got tired of looking at, you know, just beige boxes. You know, everybody was selling the same thing, just rebranded, maybe a little bit different case, but, you know, it was either white or it was beige. It's black, you know. I just kind of got bored of seeing the same thing. And I started looking around and had a friend of mine one time that had spray-painted his case with a flex stone. It made it look like it was a piece of granite. And this was many, many years ago, and I was just awestruck. Why hadn't I thought about that? A simple paint job could just really change the whole attitude of a case. And then I got to thinking more about it, and I, you know, did some really rudimentary things around the house, experimenting on some really old cases that I had laying around. And then I started looking around online, and I found a couple enthusiast websites, and, you know, modding was just kind of starting. I started getting a little bit more excited about it, seeing that there were other, you know, tech heads out there like me that were trying to make their cases, you know, more beautiful, you know, more sexy. I'll even go as far as to say that, you know, because, you know, technology, this is kind of the whole, this generation, it's kind of what being a grease monkey was back in the 70s, you know. You're always out there with the hood up on your Camaro, tinkering around in your engine, trying to eke that little bit of performance out so you can go out and smoke that guy. You know, this is kind of the same thing. You know, you get your PC home, you have all the parts, you start putting it together, and you start thinking, no, I want to tweak this part and make it go faster. And that's kind of where everything has evolved on me. I'd gotten bored with building just plain machines, and I felt the need to extend kind of an artistic side. I'm a frustrated artist, a vocal performance major, and I've got an artistic side, and I'm like, I need to find a way to put my artistic side in with this totally logic-based computer side. And there's apparently a bunch of other people out there like me that want to make their PCs more visually enticing.
So does that extend to any other thing around your house? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that sort of is, you know, works on the gray box theory there. What about any cars, TVs, count your kids, maybe?
my kids. I mod on my kids. A funny one that I just got finished doing is I'm in a cast right now. I just got finished going through surgery, and I've been limping around on this black fiberglass cast, and I was out in the garage just this last weekend, and I was working on, I was practicing my airbrushing techniques, trying to get mix ratios down and what airbrush needle works best with what type of paint. And I looked down at my cast, and I was like, screw it. Hmm. Grabbed a template, and I went to town and put a whole bunch of tribal flames all over my cast. And I got people commenting about my cast and how I need to start working at hospitals airbrushing people's cast. No, but I mean, I'm also going to be, you know, I'm going to be building, you know, a home theater PC. It's going to be a modded, you know, modded machine. I don't really tinker much with TVs because I don't know enough about them. I know that, you know, if you reach back behind a TV and you grab the wrong part, it could really knock you for a loop. I know enough to stay clear of it, you know. And the parts, you know, like my one and only car, I'm eyeballing that thing too right now. It's a Mitsubishi Montero Sport, and I keep looking at it. My wife keeps beating me off with a broom. Get away from it, you know.
Craig, maybe you can tell me about some of the mistakes you've made along your journey as a modder, and anything that you can maybe point out for first-time modders, stuff for them to watch out for.
Main thing that first-timers need to be really cautious and conscientious of is being patient. When you get impatient, you do silly and stupid things. You use tools you shouldn't be using to get results that can be unexpected at best. At worst, they can be dangerous. Using a tool improperly, you know, you could hurt yourself, you could hurt the machine, you hurt the equipment you're working on, you could hurt the tool. I mean, there's lots of different really bad outcomes, but the key is just to be patient. You know, there's a saying that we have in the modding community, and that's to measure twice and cut once. And, you know, that goes for pretty much any building group that's out there. But being patient is the main thing I tell them. And the other thing that I try and coach people on, especially if it's a person that's doing their first machine, is be realistic. If you're doing your first machine and you don't have a lot of tools and you don't have a lot of resources, you know, don't look at, you know, like what I've done with Boss or you know, maybe what Zap Wizard did, you know, some of the stuff he's done, or maybe some stuff that like Genome or and some of the other, you know, larger modders in the community have done. Don't try and do that on your first mod. Try and set yourself up for success and do the things that you know you can do, that you can attain. Each mod you do, you want to try and reach out a little bit further on the next one, or you want to try and do something that you haven't done or that you haven't seen others do, and figure out a way of making it work. But you don't want to start off sprinting if you don't know how to walk first. So, you know, the thing I try and tell people mainly is be patient. You know, don't work mad, don't work angry, because then you just make really bad errors. Try and be attainable, and enjoy the modding journey as it is. If you set yourself up for a project that's too daunting, you'll get burned out and you won't want to do it, or you won't finish it, and then you've got this half-completed computer that's staring at you and it's pissing you off every day when you look at it. You end up getting even more mad, and then you end up getting turned off, and you know you don't want to do it. Modding is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a commitment. It can be frustrating, but the end result of having a machine that nobody else in the world has, and that you can say you built, is a feeling that I wouldn't trade for the world. Mistakes that I've made in the past, on Boss, I actually had a power supply mod that I planned on putting in. It was going to be a power distribution center, and it was too aggressive. I wasted $150 power supply and $75 in parts on something that's still sitting in my garage in pieces. I didn't have enough time to implement it properly. The way I had engineered it, I engineered it in a rush. There I go, breaking my first rule. And because I engineered my solution in a rush, I ordered the wrong parts. And because I ordered the wrong parts, I couldn't do what I needed to do. And, you know, I lost a couple days trying to force the parts to work, and didn't work. So, you know, I'm waiting on the right opportunity to use the parts that I've purchased and the power supply that's laying in pieces in my garage.
Well, one of the kind of coolest and certainly most talked about aftermarket upgrades for PCs is water cooling. Now, is that something that you've tried? And what do you think about what most people would think of as kind of shocking, is to put water in your PC? It kind of seems counterintuitive.
It does, because you're dealing with a lot of electricity and you're dealing with a lot of, you know, power coursing around. And, of course, you know, when you say water cooling, the first word out of your mouth is water. Water and electricity don't mix. Water cooling has come a long way. Initially, it was guys using, you know, like fish tank pumps or pumps that they were swiping and you know, things that were set up for like ponds outside, you know, that Home Depot would have and stuff like that. And people started getting more into it, and manufacturers started responding. The kits have come a long way. There's still a certain amount of skill that's required to properly implement a water cooling solution, and you get better performance almost 95% of the time using water cooling over air, depending on what you're comparing it against. The main thing is that with water cooling is you have additional weight, because obviously water, you know, you have your coolant, it's going to add a couple pounds to the case, and it makes it a little bit more difficult to move. So if you're a heavy LAN party person, you want to really give serious consideration and planning to how you want to implement your water cooling solution. I would not recommend making a external reservoir or an external cooling if you have hoses that go to, say, something that sits to the side of your case. Obviously, you're going to want to have something that's all-inclusive. You're going to want to have your pump, your reservoirs, your lines, and your radiators all within the case, so that if you are going to move and you are going to a LAN party, you can pick the whole thing up at once and move it all at once. There's a couple guys I've seen that have done that really well. Spider, a guy that's in the Austin Modders group that I mod with, he's got a great Half-Life 2 case. It's got a coolant, water cooling system. It's actually really modded well into the top of the unit, and he goes to LAN parties all the time, and he doesn't have any problems. The other great thing about water cooling is it's silent. You know, when you're dealing with air cooling components, when you're dealing with heat sinks, you're dealing with exhaust fans, you're dealing with chipset fans, and all those fans buzzing inside your case can, you know, be distracting. You know, with water cooling properly installed and with a little bit of acoustic mat below the pump, it's virtually silent. It's a great cooling solution.
Do you use a water cooling system for your graphics cards?
No, not right now. I've got a water cooling system that I actually won that's out in the garage. It's waiting on one of my next mods to do. But all of my stuff has been air-cooled up to this point until I get into that new water cooling system that I've got out in the garage. It's just been one of those things that I haven't had time. I've wanted to. Oh, I'm dying to get into it, but I have to kind of, you know, rein myself in and don't get myself involved in too many projects. You know, finish up my friend's case, finish up the Dallas Stars case, then I can focus on, you know, the case that I want to build. And that next one is probably going to be water-cooled.
So when you're building a PC with, you know, you got water coolings, multiple drives, graphic cards, we're talking about a lot of cables, a lot of electronics, a lot of stuff running all over the place. Do you have any tips or advice about how to run cables in an SLI PC?
Well, one of the things, you know, like you just touched on is, you know, just the absolute cable mess and management. One of the tips that I do, and I see a lot of other people do it, is you install your power supply, and then you run the lines that you know you need. And anything else that you don't need, like if you're on an AMD, you don't need the Intel motherboard power headers. Or if you're on an Intel, you don't need the AMD motherboard power headers. Maybe you don't need all of the 4-pin hard drive Molex leads that come with all these power supplies. There's usually space behind the motherboard to where if you can get the cables pulled up and zip tie them towards the top of the case, you can usually route them back behind the motherboard. If there's not enough space behind the motherboard tray, usually on the back side of the 5 1/4 inch bays, if you take off the back panel of your computer, there's usually space there on the back side that you can zip tie cables and get them out of the way. It makes for a much cleaner environment on the inside, makes for airflow. The other thing that I like to do is actually I'll hide all of my cables out of the way, and then I'll build me a custom strand of Molex leads so that I don't have a bunch of extra slack cables bowing out. I'll actually build, you know, I'll buy me the cabling, the 18-gauge or 16-gauge wire, and run it into Molex's that I custom buy and build my own cabling, and then patch that in with a little female Molex power receptacle and just patch it into one of my bands of cables that I have hidden in the back, and then it just cleans everything up. And then other companies like Lizard Tree out of Canada, they make spiral cable wraps that just rock my world. You can put them around water cooling tubes, and if you're routing your water cooling tubes, you don't want to bend the tubes too much or else they'll kink, and then that will reduce the flow of the coolant running through them. If you put springs on the outside of them, it helps to maintain the outer diameter integrity of the tube, and it keeps them from kinking. So you can put springs on the outside of your water cooling tubes, and Lizard Tree has a just ton of color options. You can get, you know, UV reactive, you can get, you know, black, you can get white, you can get just about any color of the rainbow. And I actually use them also for wrapping around my custom cable braids that I make. So there's lots of little tricks that you can use, but the main thing is just to take the cables that you don't need and either tuck them into the top of the case, tuck them into the back of the case behind the 5 1/4 inch bays, or ideally find a way to tuck them behind the motherboard tray if you have enough space.
I want to ask you, what's the coolest thing that you've seen done to a PC that you haven't done yet?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. There's a guy out of Australia, his name's Defiant. There's something in the water because two of my favorite modders in the world are actually out of Australia. One of them's Defiant, and the other one, his name's Genome. Defiant has this style of working with only Hewlett-Packard cases, old HP Pavilion cases. And he is an acrylic master and really does a spectacular job. And he's done a whole series using nothing but HP Pavilion cases. He's done like 5 or 6 mods, and they're beautiful. They're just they're really eye catching, and they're beautiful to look at. And they're, you know, some of them are air cooled, some of them are water cooled, but he's every time he does one of those HP rigs, he does it differently, and it's always a big stretch from what he did previously. The other guy, Genome, has actually got 2 projects under his belt that were really, really, really well received by the community. His first one was called ORAC 3, which was based off of an old science fiction character, and it's an acrylic case with tons of chrome steel tubing, like shower hose, on the inside of it, as well as chrome motherboard. He put a whole lot of time and effort and investment into making ORAC 3, and then he just got finished doing another one that looks like a bomb, that is a spectacular work of art. You know, again, it's the whole patience, planning, and execution. These two guys really exemplify it in my book. They've done spectacular work, and other modders, you know, especially, and I'll raise my hand, myself included, just stand in awe at what some of these guys do. You know, and what was really flattering for me is I follow Defiant and really appreciate the work he does, as well as, you know, how well he notates it online. And Defiant is actually a big fan of my Boss rig. He actually has it as his wallpaper on his personal machine at home. You know, so we've struck up a little bit of a relationship over the last couple of months. It's been very flattering to be accepted amongst, you know, guys that I actually learn a ton from, that I admire. But those two rigs stand out in my line.
Well, Craig, it sounds like you've done some really amazing stuff with PCs, and the projects really kind of show a lot of the work that you've put into it. Is there a website that we can point our listeners to that they can kind of see some of the projects?
Funny you would ask that, because during this whole, I just went through surgery here a couple weeks ago, and while I was laid up, I just said, you know, what am I going to do while I'm not moving? And I built my own website. So www.tech-daddy.com. You know, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm going to be posting up all my rigs. Also, my project logs, until I get my forms, working on techdaddy.com, you know, www.tech-daddy.com. I also frequent two main websites, Austin Modders, which is a group of Central Texas guys like myself, Sheldog, Zap Wizard, Spider, the guy I told you about earlier. We're all members of Austin Modders, and that's just austinmodders.com, all one word. The other one is Modders, Inc., which is an up-and-coming commercial modding website. It's meant for large groups of people to get together and share ideas, share techniques. They have a really good base of how-to articles, as well as, you know, explaining, you know, more advanced techniques or how somebody did this particular type of mod. Project logs galore out at Modders, Inc., www.modders-inc.com. Those are my two homes away from home, and the techdaddy.com website is just going to do nothing but grow from here on out. So stop on by.
That was Craig Tech Daddy Tate, one of the country's best-known computer modders. This is the first of a two-part podcast with Tate, so join us next time for more of the conversation. You can check out his work at www.tech-daddy.com. This is Michael Johnson.